It's time for From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine with Trey Schaap. A golf podcast for those who love golf, struggle with golf, and just like to enjoy the outdoors and fellowship with friends, all while chasing a ball around, trying to put it in a 4 1/4 inch diameter hole. From the Shortgrass is presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine and brought to you by Stevens Incorporated, an independent financial services firm with the freedom to focus on what matters most. By Beechwood Hospitality, we partner with you to deliver high-yield results by managing, developing, and investing in top-quality hospitality assets. And now, from the Shortgrass, here's your host, Trey Schaap.
Welcome to another edition of From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. I am your host, Trey Schaap. When the Simmons Bank Championship, presented by Stevens, was in town, I had a chance to sit down with PGA Tour Champions player Justin Leonard. Justin won the 1997 Open Championship, played at Royal Troon, and also hit arguably the greatest putt in Ryder Cup history in 1999 when he made a 45-foot putt for birdie on the 17th hole that completed a remarkable comeback by the United States team. Yes, the shirts were hideous, but the putt was a good one. Team USA won the Ryder Cup at the Country Club in Brookline, Massachusetts. During Justin's amateur career, he played his collegiate golf at the University of Texas. He won 4 straight Southwest Conference championships from 1991 to 1994, went to 4 straight NCAA championships. The team finished in second place in 94. He won 10 individual events in college, including the individual NCAA championship in 94, the Southwest Conference championship a record 4 times. He won the 92 USAM. He also made the All-Southwest Conference team every year he was in college, was a 3-time first-team All-American, a second-team All-American in 1991. He won the Haskins Award and the Jack Nicklaus Award in 1994 as the most outstanding collegiate golfer. That same year, he became only the 4th player at the time to go directly from college to the PGA Tour without going through Q School, following Gary Hallberg, Scott Verplank, and Phil Mickelson. Ladies and gentlemen, I had a great time sitting down with Justin Leonard, and I know you're going to enjoy my interview with him. It's coming up after the break. But first, let me tell you this. Ortho Now is now open at the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health. If you have an orthopedic injury, sports, work, or anything else, walk in and see the best in orthopedic care. No appointment needed. Ortho Now, now open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. I'm back with Justin Leonard after this. Stay with us.
The next time you travel to El Dorado and need overnight accommodations, the Haywood Hotel is where you need to stay. The Haywood El Dorado Tapestry Collection by Hilton is a great place to stay if you're in South Arkansas, listening to live music, or playing the challenging Mystic Creek Golf Club. Take time and relax in their bar for a drink before going out on the town for dinner. The Haywood, 210 South Washington, right in the heart of downtown El Dorado. Search the Haywood El Dorado on the web or call 800-293-0718 for reservations. The Haywood, a Beechwood Hospitality property.
Strength is measured not by the number of accounts. Strength is placing value on relationships. It's having the vision and the guts to invest in growth. It's the commitment to responsibly manage your money. At Stevens, we believe that our strengths build success, not only for us, but for our clients. Stevens, member NYSE, SIPC.
I'm Dr. Lowry Barnes. When it comes to orthopedic care, there's no place like the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health. We built this hospital just for you. With state-of-the-art surgical suites, advanced technology, and the state's largest group of fellowship-trained orthopedic surgeons, it's the best place in Arkansas to get you moving again. And if you need urgent orthopedic care, UAMS Ortho Now is right here for you at the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health, where motion lives and service leads.
Welcome back to this edition of From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. I am your host, Trey Schaap. Justin Leonard, won 12 times on the PGA Tour, has won one time on the European Tour, and twice on PGA Tour Champions. His two wins on PGA Tour Champions came this year, first at the Chubb Classic in February, and then the Dominion Energy Charity Classic, which was the first leg of the Charles Schwab Cup playoffs before the Simmons Bank Championship presented by Stevens, made an eagle on the last hole to finish at minus 12 and won by one shot over Tomas Bjorn and Ernie Els. Most of the time, you'll hear me say, on the tee, and I will introduce the guest. Well, with Justin Leonard being an Open champion, there's only one way to introduce him.
And the winner of the gold medal and the champion golfer for the year with a score of 272, Justin Leonard.
Justin, thanks for joining me on this edition of From the Shortgrass. Do you remember the first time you ever picked up a golf club and just really fell in love with this game?
You know, it was, I think it was a 5-iron. I had a 5-iron and a putter were my first two clubs. And, you know, a little tiny little fabric bag that my mom made. And it had a like the top of a Cool Whip, you know, container in the bottom to keep this canvas bag, you know, from totally collapsing on itself. You know, my parents would play and I would kind of chase them along with my 5-iron on, you know, Sunday afternoons or whatever at Royal Oaks Country Club. I didn't get to putt that much because I, you know, was just dribbling along the ground. I figured out that if I wanted to actually putt, I need to get it on the green before they were finished with the hole. So I think I learned to play fast at an early age so that I could putt a little bit. But, you know, and then just kind of progressed from there. And then, you know, got a set of, you know, little Bens, you know, Ben Hogan's.
Oh, yeah.
It was like I think it was a 9, a 7, and a 5-iron, a putter, and maybe like a 3-wood or a 5-wood or something like that. Played with those for a while. And then I got a set of hand-me-downs. They were also Ben Hogan's. My dad's from Fort Worth. We lived in Dallas, Texas. So, you know, it was a lot of Ben Hogan stuff in our house. I got a set of my grandmother's clubs. There were Ben Hogan's as well. And we went, I remember the day, we went and cut them down. And put a, you know, a green victory grip on, and I couldn't wait to hit it because I'd never hit an even numbered club before. And so it was like so cool to have an 8-iron and a 6-iron and a pitching wedge. I had an old Wilson Dynapower sand wedge that was a hand-me-down my dad had bought at like a garage sale and given it to my grandfather. And my grandfather, he had bought some other wedge or something, and so cut that down. So I used that wedge for, I don't know, 6 or 7 years, and to the point where there were no grooves left on it. But,
oh, wow.
But I was still using the thing. And so, yeah, a lot of hand-me-downs and cut-down clubs and stuff like that. But, yeah, and it's, you know, it's funny. Still, I'm a member at Royal Oaks, which is where I grew up and learn to play, so it's always fun. I don't live in the Dallas area anymore, but I was there about 3 weeks ago, and those memories kind of come flooding back.
I was going to ask you, what memories do you have of Royal Oaks and growing up around there? And, I mean, I think everybody looks at some of the guys that come from the Dallas area and make it to the PGA Tour have gotten their start there. I mean, Scottie Scheffler, the number one player in the world right now, Royal Oaks.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Harrison Frazier was a member there. D.A. Weibring was a member there, and his son Matt, you know, would play out there quite a bit. And then, you know, just Randy would work with certain players. Maybe they weren't members, but, you know, Ryan Palmer and John Rollins and Colt Knost. And Colt was actually a member there for a long time. And so, you know, it's been fun. I remember playing there when I was probably 11 or 12 years old, and Lee Trevino was out there.
Oh, wow.
And
yeah.
He was, he didn't want to hit balls on the range. He went over and hit balls in like the third fairway. And he had a shag bag of balls. He was like off to the side of the tee box, but he was hitting balls down the fairway. And it was, you know, it was like 9 o'clock in the morning or something on a Tuesday during the summer. And so he's, you know, waved me up, go ahead and hit. And I was trying so hard to hit my ball into his, you know, very small area of balls that he was hitting. So I was going to snatch me a brand new Titleist or whatever he was playing at the time out of there. Fortunately, his pattern was too narrow. I couldn't get it in there. But, you know, just stuff like that was always happening at Royal Oaks.
High school golf. Where did you play your high school golf in Dallas?
I played at Lake Highlands High School.
Okay.
Yeah. We
competitive team?
Yeah, we were good. We won the state tournament my sophomore year, and it was only 10th through 12th grade. And then the team actually, we had good teams, but we couldn't get through regionals the next 2 years. And so I went to state as an individual my junior and senior year. But yeah, our sophomore year, we had a really good team.
When it came time to decide where to go to college, was there any doubt where you were going to go?
Oh, there was maybe a little doubt. I mean, I took some recruiting trips. You know, the head coach at the time, Barry Rodenhaver at SMU, was recruiting me very hard. I think it'd been tough to stay. I wanted a little bit more of a college experience, which meant leaving Dallas. But once I went on my recruiting trip, Harrison Frazier and I actually went on our trips together. And I remember on very late on Saturday night, might have been Sunday morning, we were sitting in our hotel room that we were sharing, and I was like, this is the greatest place. Like, we've got to come to school here. And so we kind of both decided then that that's what we were going to do. And once I got down there and my sister was in school at UT at the time, she's 3 years ahead of me. So I'd been down there a few times before, but being around the golf team, around the athletic department and everything, you know, the size of the school, as an athlete, the size it's much smaller. And so I think that really helped. I think a school that large sometimes can be a little daunting, but being with the athletic department, it shrinks things down quite a bit.
We hear the term blue blood a lot when it comes to football, basketball. When I think of golf, I think of Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, Texas, and Arizona State, Stanford. And I think Stanford because of Tiger.
Right.
But you came through in a time when golf was not cool until Tiger came along, right?
You're right. No, we were not cool at any point in high school. Maybe a little cooler in college. But, you know, because there were guys that played high school golf that, you know, they weren't playing on the team or anything. But, you know, they kind of thought it was cool that we were on the golf team. But, no, we were, you know, we were relegated to the back of the training room and all those things back in the day.
When did you decide, I want to try to make this a career? I want to try and join the PGA Tour. Did you know at an early age that's what you wanted to do with your life?
Well, it was either that or I wanted to work for my dad. And I still to this day can't really tell you exactly what he did. he got a PhD in microbiology and he managed clinical laboratories. But I love my dad. And so, you know, those were the two things when I was a kid. And then in high school, my focus was to play in college. And honestly, my first 2 years of college, I just want to be a good teammate and try and continue to get better. It wasn't really, I won the U.S. Amateur in 92, which was a summer right before my junior year. And so that next year, I got to play in, you know, three majors and a couple other tour events. And it was really then playing in those events. I had a little bit of success. I mean, I made the cut at the U.S. Open. I played okay. I made the cuts at the Byron Nelson and at Colonial. So I would say from that experience, then I was like, okay, I think this is something that I can do. You know, we were fortunate to have Tom Kite and Ben Crenshaw, both Texas alums, both lived in Austin, that were very supportive. And Tom really kind of took me under his wing, if you will. I remember he called me, it was like Christmas break in my senior year. And we practiced, you know, some together in Austin. He won the U.S. Open that same year. So we were kind of linked through our USGA championships. And he said, hey, why don't you meet me over at the Hogan plant in Fort Worth? So I said, okay. And I thought I was just going to watch him, like, you know, grind wedges or something like that. And so I walk in there and he said, well, no, we're actually here. We're going to make you a set of clubs. And I'm like, okay. And I had no idea how to express what I wanted to see and look at. And, you know, I've still got that first set that we did, and they're just horrendous looking, just because I couldn't really verbalize, well, no, I don't want that. In the toe, I like to see more of this and that. But it was a really fun process. And that started my relationship with the Ben Hogan Company, where I was actually, I signed with them out of college. And it's just funny that, 15 years earlier, those were my first clubs, were Ben Hogan. So Tom was great. I learned a lot from him and just, how to practice and get ready for tournaments, and played some practice rounds with him and things like that, to where when I did turn pro after NCAAs in 94, I felt like I was already kind of ahead of the game because I knew a little bit of what to expect.
Obviously, getting to play in some of the majors, with the fact that you won the USAM, that victory opened up a lot of doors for you, did it not?
Oh, absolutely. It did. Played in the World Amateur Team Championship, then playing in those majors. I played with Fred Couples the first round of the Masters. I played with Tom and Nick Faldo the first 2 days at the U.S. Open. Those kind of experiences, it opened my eyes to what was out there and what was possible. I learned so much that year just playing practice rounds and watching guys play in tournaments and things like that, that helped my game even more than like the confidence of winning the USAM.
When you won the British Open, the Open Championship in 97, what was that feeling like?
It was a little, I wouldn't say that I expected to be at that stage at that point in my career. So a little unexpected, but it was, it was great. The whole experience, being able to go back as many times as I have, there's a reverence for their past champions, over there in Scotland and England and Northern Ireland, that you don't see anywhere else in the world. And so, to be able to go back as much as I have and played over there is very special. And then again, it opens up doors. It's career legacy kind of stuff when you're able to accomplish something in major championships, and to be able to do it at such a young age at 25, I think was a blessing, because I never had to get that question of, well, when are you, when is this player going to do it? Because we've seen that happen to, a number of, the top players in the game that maybe hadn't come through a major championships before. And I'm sure that question gets pretty old after a number of years.
I would say another career accomplishment for you, I mean, you sank the winning putt for the United States team in 99 at Brookline. And I look back at it, were those horrendous shirts? I mean, what did you guys think as a team when you first saw those shirts? But then to go out there and do what you did, it was like, well, we can wear them all the time now, right?
Right. No, they were horrendous. That's a good word for it. The thought that went into it, I think, was beautiful, in that it was the portraits of all the winning previous U.S. Ryder Cup teams. But it's impossible to pull it off on a shirt. Maybe like a quilt or the liner of a sport coat or something like that might have been better used for it. But, in the end, I guess it worked.
Having Ben Crenshaw as the captain, Texas Longhorn, you were a Texas Longhorn. How was your relationship with him that week?
Just as it always has been. The relationship is great. Ben's, Ben and Tom are very, very different in their personalities and the way they go about things. And Tom was the captain in 97 in Valderrama when I played there. And so, it was a different feel to it for sure. Tom's very much dotting every I, crossing every T. Ben's more, touchy-feely, it's in the trees, that kind of thing. And so the two are very different. But what Ben said in that press conference on Saturday night when he, you know, held his finger up and says, I'm gonna say one more thing. I'm gonna leave you with this. I've got a good feeling about tomorrow, and that's all I'm gonna say. Coming from Ben, you kind of believe it. I think if anybody else had said that, you'd say, oh, this guy's off his rocker. But for Ben, that wasn't him trying to motivate us. It was, I think he truly felt that way. And you know, lo and behold, he was right.
Obviously, this year, Team USA not able to get it done at Bethpage Black. When you see the video of you making that putt again year after year after year, does it ever get old?
No, it doesn't get old. You know, people ask me, like, you know, do I think about it often? Well, no, I don't think about it often, but it gets brought up enough to me. You know, I've met, I don't know how many hundreds of thousands, or not hundreds of thousands, but I've met a lot of people who said they were there. I feel like I've met every person that said they were there. And
I was watching on TV. I was not there.
Right. And then the fact that Keegan Bradley was there.
Yeah.
And it really kind of stoked his passion for golf is pretty darn cool.
That is pretty cool. What would you say to young kids that might be wanting to pick up the game? Why stay with it? What does golf teach them?
I mean, it mirrors life in so many ways. You know, it's humbling. You've got to work at it. You know, there's a discipline involved. There's so many things, you know, integrity, honesty. There's so many things that you learn through the game of golf that are actually life skills. I've got a freshman that's playing golf at Villanova, and we were talking the last couple of days, and I said, look, you know, if you go down this route of, you know, and it's about just mental fortitude and, you know, believing yourself and all those things. I go, this is not just golf we're talking about. This is something you will use in your everyday life, whether it's in your relationships, in the classroom, you know, all of those things. And there's so many different carryovers between golf and life. You know, that's the reason I would tell a young player who's, you know, maybe not enjoying the game as much or not want to be as competitive, those things, that, you know, that's fine, but just keep playing. Because the things you'll get to experience through this game, whether it's through relationships or, you know, travel, those kind of things, whether you're a professional golfer or, you know, a 27 handicapper, you'll get to experience all those things.
You went into broadcasting. What was that like for you?
It was interesting. It was humbling. But it was exciting too. I enjoyed being in a part of a team atmosphere, because you really are. You're trying to help each other, and you're trying to entertain, you know, the audience at home, while, you know, and sometimes there's moments for levity and other times there's moments for, you know, criticism. And I think finding the balance between the two, you know, all those things are challenging, but rewarding at the same time. And, I feel like to be, you know, really good at it, it requires a lot of work, and I've never shied away from putting work in. And so, so I dove in head first and you know, made some great relationships and was able to stay in the game a bit, if you will.
Playing on PGA Tour Champions gives you guys a chance to keep that competitive drive going, I would say. Is that a good analogy of it, the fact that you guys still get to come out and compete week to week?
Well, that's why we do it. You know, at this age, I think, you know, for some players, it may be about the money, but I think for the majority of players, they just enjoy competing. And whether it's, you know, the work at home on weeks off or getting out here and, you know, feeling those feelings again of you know, competitive golf, you know, that's why guys are still doing it, and they're putting the work in because you have to be competitive out here. And so, you know, I do more work now in the gym and on my body now than I did 20 years ago when I was playing the regular tour. Because it's just necessary because of, you know, so many years of swinging a golf club and sleeping in hotel beds. But B, I enjoy feeling good and feeling strong And but it takes a little more to feel that way at 53 years old. And that the fitness truck stays pretty busy on you know, weeks when we're out here playing on the Champions Tour.
Do they have enough Icy Hot in there or whatever they use for you guys?
You know, I don't go in the I don't go in the therapy truck that often. I kind of do my own thing, so it does not smell like Icy Hot in the fitness truck where all the equipment is. Yeah, there's some of that. There's I tell you what, I wish we had cold pools or cold plunges out. I know they do on the regular tour, and I'm a little envious of that. So, maybe someday, but
next year.
But yeah, it's the guys that are playing well out here are really working hard.
Best golf course Justin Leonard has ever played, or your favorite?
My favorite golf course is Pine Valley. It's number one for a reason. I've been there a couple of times. Actually, my son, who's at Villanova, we went and played when we got him moved in, and it was his first time to see it. And so that, from a golf course, just the whole experience, that's my favorite place.
Fantasy foursome, living or deceased, you and three others that you could play around a golf with, who would they be?
Fantasy foursome. Well, I'm going to keep it close to the vest. I'm going to say, my dad and my two boys. Nothing would be better than that.
Royal Oaks.
And we'll get to do it, over Thanksgiving. So that'll be fun.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Royal Oaks. Or would you go somewhere else?
It doesn't matter. It does. I'd take him to Pine Valley if I could.
There you go. Justin, thanks so much for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
I'm Dr. Lowry Barnes. When it comes to orthopedic care, there's no place like the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health. We built this hospital just for you. With state-of-the-art surgical suites, advanced technology, and the state's largest group of fellowship-trained orthopedic surgeons, it's the best place in Arkansas to get you moving again. And if you need urgent orthopedic care, UAMS Ortho Now is right here for you at the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health, where motion lives and service leads.
From Central Arkansas to South Arkansas to Northeast Arkansas, across the state to Northwest Arkansas, you will find a Beechwood Hospitality property. From the Haywood in El Dorado to the Hilton Garden in Jonesboro to the Doubletree in Bentonville and the Staybridge Suites just south of Baumwalker Stadium, Beechwood Hospitality has a room for you. Beechwood Hospitality is the leader in hotel property management in the state. Make sure you find a Beechwood Hospitality hotel for your next overnight stay.
The future is not about a bond reaching maturity. The future is what my grandfather worked for. It's what my father carried on. It's my responsibility today. The future is my son's tomorrow. At the Stevens Private Client Group, we believe that our strength builds success, not only for us, but for our clients. Stevens, member NYSE, SIPC.
That will do it for this edition of From the Short Grass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. I want to thank Matthew Allen and Blair Allen, Beechwood Hospitality. They know how to manage hotel properties. When you need an overnight place to stay, make sure you're staying at a Beechwood Hospitality hotel. You'll be glad you did. I also want to thank Lee Patterson with ProLink Sports for helping coordinate the interview with Justin Leonard with Connor with the PGA Tour. A lot goes into the week when the players are in town for an event, so they help out behind the scenes, stuff that you don't see, in order to set that up. And I also want to thank Michael Arbuck, the general manager of Pleasant Valley Country Club, for letting me use his office for the interviews, some still to come here on From the Short Grass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Hey, if you didn't get out to the Simmons Bank Championship presented by Stevens, you want to make plans now. It's going to be a little bit later next year on the calendar because they have moved it back a week. Next year, the Simmons Bank Championship presented by Stevens will be played October 30th, 31st, and November the 1st. November the 1st is Championship Sunday next year at the Simmons Bank Championship, presented by Stevens. Remember, when you find your ball mark on the green, fix it and a couple of more. And I hope to see you sometime soon from the short grass.
You have been listening to From the Short Grass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, a weekly podcast dedicated to the game of golf. This has been a presentation of the Buzz Radio Network in association with Majestic Cubby Productions.